You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello and welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. Chiefs returned to the practice field on Friday for the final time ahead of Sunday's wild card matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Head coach Andy Reid did confirm that Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be out on Sunday night, so the Chiefs should lean heavily on running back Darrell Williams. We heard from Reid as well as Chris Jones and running back Jerick McKinnon. We'll go in that order, starting with Andy Reid, followed by Chris Jones, and we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, we'll wrap up the week with Jerick McKinnon. Here's Andy Reid.
Really, the only one that didn't practice today was Clyde. Like I said, he tested it out a few days ago, and it wasn't quite as good as what we thought it might be, and he thought it might be. So he'll be listed as out when you get the report here. And then everybody else practiced, and I got some work in today, so we should be good to go from there. We look forward to the challenge of playing Pittsburgh. We know that they're a good football team and well coached. So the guys have had a good week of practice here, and we were able to get outside today, which was a good thing, and I get some good work in. So we'll wrap it up tomorrow with our mock game, and then go from there. So with that, time's yours.
Let's go first to Adam Teicher.
Hey, Andy, wanted to check on a couple other guys. Tyreek Hill, how'd he do in practice today? And will he be up on Sunday night? And Darrell Williams also.
Yeah, they practiced today.
And they'll be up on Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, unless something happens.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, let's go next to Herbie Teope. Oh, Herbie put his hand out. Let's go to Sam McDowell. Go to Sam.
Andy, a couple for you. One really quick. Just in the portion open to media, we didn't see Frank Clark out there. Everything's good with him. He's going to be available.
Yeah, he had to go to the bathroom.
All right. Glad that got broadcast over live. Appreciate it.
That's all right. Just let me know.
And then Chris Jones, we just chatted with him. When we asked him about the fact that he started this season wanting to play on the outside, that's where he was. He's moved back inside. He sort of shrugs it off like it hasn't been that big of a deal to transition. From your perspective, is that a bigger transition than he makes it, even if it's more mentally than physically so?
It was easy for him to move back inside. He worked on the outside part. He's still doing it. I mean, we still move him around and give him shots out there. So it's good to have that flexibility, Sam, is what I'd probably tell you. And I think he's handled it well. He isn't, those four veteran guys are very, very close, and the backup guys behind him are very close, and they just kind of feed off of each other. All eight of them do their thing. So it's a good room right there.
Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, appreciate the time here. Two questions. First one kind of about Pittsburgh, kind of from the owner to the coach to the quarterback there and what they have and the stability in their organization. Does it remind you of what you all have built here in Kansas City?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they're two phenomenal organizations and that have been around a long time before you and I were around. So it's I guess I was around. I was just a little bit younger when the Chiefs came about. But still, it's these are two phenomenal organizations that have had that have a great history in this league. So, and I know the ownership is relatively close too. So they've been doing a long time together in this league.
And in your tenure as a head coach, you've been to 8 conference championship games. Is there a common theme or maybe something that you think is a key to sustaining playoff runs and having success this time of year?
Yeah, I think having a good, stable organization, probably getting back to your original question, having the front office being solid and on the same page, and the personnel department being on the same page, your general manager with Brett, and then the coaching staff, and then having good players. I mean, you can't really do one without the other. It doesn't work that way. So having everybody kind of come together, I think it's kind of one of the neat things about this business. It's important. So for success, we've been fortunate to have a little bit of that chemistry, you know, which is a real plus. It's a tribute to Clark, what he's done here.
So we've got three more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Coach, we've asked you, you know, a couple times this year about Ben Roethlisberger because you played him a couple times. I don't want to ask about what he is now, but I want to see what you thought about him early, because you used to see them all the time in the preseason, right? Pittsburgh and Philly would play back in the day. Did he look like a Hall of Famer type guy when you saw him then?
Well, he did when he was winning those Super Bowls. He sure looked good. He's so big and strong, and he's very, very smart. Michael Vick had a chance to play with him there and just said he just knows everything about everything. And and is a curious thinker, that which is good. And you've seen him grow up, I mean, right before us, from a young guy from a relatively small college to, you know, being a Super Bowl champion and a future Hall of Famer here. So, and he's playing good football right now. The last couple of weeks, man, he's been slinging it. So, and they've got people healthy and so on. So he's finishing up his career the right way.
Go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And Brad, I'll have a quick follow-up. Coach, Eric Bieniemy, you know, got this time of year the questions he always gets about being a head coach, or at least has been getting for the last few years. And I'm not going to ask you about that, but I'm just curious, you know, he really wanted to talk about Pittsburgh, right? He didn't want to talk about that. How much of a distraction is it for guys on your staff when their name does come up? And you know, this time of year, every year, you've had a lot of them go on to be head coaches. Do you have to rein them back in, or the things, you know, that you have to do to try to focus things?
No, not at all. I mean, these guys are unselfish guys. I mean, EB has had that the last couple of years. And it disappoints me that somebody hasn't hired him. I mean, obviously, because he's so good. And I'm hoping that takes place this year. So, but it, you know, these guys, you know, the guys. So, I mean, they're not going to let it be a distraction. They're going to defer to the team and what that's all about, and then kind of let the chips fall where they may, you know. And I'm sure between COVID and our long season, it hasn't been real beneficial for EB and having the opportunity. But I think this year he's going to end up with one.
All right. That's good to hear. I assume you're pretty informed. So that's good to hear. The other one is just about practice. Like, we, you know, guys, you know, have a good practice, you know, teams will have a good practice, a bad practice. I'm just curious, in your experience, like how much does a good practice equate to a good game? Like, how often do you leave going, oh, we had a great practice, and you turn around and like, wow, we didn't carry that over. Like, how does that correlate?
I can't tell. I mean, I've had a couple games I've coached in. So, I mean, you know how that goes. I mean, that, sometimes it gets you like that. The majority of the time, though, if you have good energy during the week, you end up with pretty good energy during the game. If you make it a habit of having good energy, that's why we strive to exhaust yourself each practice, and that's a speed practice, and push yourself so it transitions and set your mindset for the game. Normally, you're going to do okay. And that's really all you ask for going into a game is, can we play good, solid football? Can we do that and not give games away? You know, you want to come out and play good, solid football. And then you, like I said, you just kind of let the chips fall where they may after that. But, you know, you want to be able to get in there and compete at a high level.
I'm sorry, I didn't have my hand up. Sorry about that. How you doing, Chris?
Herbie, how you doing, man?
I'm well, thanks. I'll take it down. Sorry about that.
All good. We'll go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Chris. What's going on, man?
Sam, how you doing?
Good. I wondered if you could kind of just recap the season for you personally a little bit. Obviously, you came into training camp pretty excited about the experimentation of a playing defensive end. You prepared your body for that a lot in the summer. The team needed you to go back inside, and you made that transition. Just can you kind of walk us through what it's been like mentally for you as you've graduated through this year?
You know, the season offers its challenges. Within a season, you face a lot of adversity, whether it's week to week, whether it's dealing with your body, or it's just this pandemic with the COVID. So, you know, facing those, and to sum it all up, it was fun. It was fun. You learned a lot. I gained a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge, played with a lot of great players. And, you know, I feel like it could have been better, but I'm happy where we at and where we plan to go.
Next to Pete Sweeney. Go, Pete.
Chris, simple question for me. What has Melvin Ingram and him coming here meant for the front four as a whole?
Melvin has been huge to this defense. Bringing Melvin in, feel like he's been a spark for this defense as a whole, you know. And I know statistically wise, his numbers doesn't show it, but he's been a huge part for this defense, whether it's his presence on the field, whether it's just setting the edge, or whether it's causing a fumble for our rookie linebacker to win the game. So Melvin is my guy. I hope me and Melvin are playing for many years, but right now we got to focus on Pittsburgh and we'll worry about Melvin, you know, as this season progresses and as it ends. And then I'm quite sure Vita, try to keep him around.
Let's go next to Harold Kuntz. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, Chris, you know, being around for that Super Bowl run last year that didn't end the way you wanted it, as you get set to start the postseason now, how do you take that memory of the defeat of last year and take it into this postseason where you know any mistake is crucial and you guys got to be at your best, even though you might not be physically at the 100% like you'd want to be at this time?
Yeah, I live by the five-minute rule. You got 5 minutes to whatever emotion, whatever you're going through, get it out right then and there. Leave it where it's at and move forward. Right now, we're moving forward to Pittsburgh. We got a very good team coming in, an exciting team who has been making some noise in the later part of the season. And they fought themselves a playoff spot. So we got those guys coming in. We know they're fired up, and they're going to be excited to play us again. So, you know, my main focus right now is how can we game plan and what can I do to better myself to force my will on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Chris. Ben Roethlisberger's thrown a bunch of passes in his career with pass rushers hanging all over him. So is there anything about him that makes him tough to bring down other than his size? I mean, you have to do something special to get him down?
Yeah, he's huge. He's smart. In my eyes, he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot. You know, when you face these type of guys, they've been playing in the league for a long time. They know how to get themselves out of trouble, and they don't hold on to the ball as much as you would love them to as a defensive lineman. So, you know, we got to pick our poison and try to affect him, whether it's getting our hands up or, you know, getting in his throwing lanes or whatever we have to do to affect the quarterback. You know, he's big. You got to wrap him up when you tackle. He can still throw with guys hovering over him. So it's a tough challenge for us as a defensive line.
We've got four more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Lindsey Jones. Go ahead, Lindsey.
Hey, Chris. Yesterday, Spags was telling us that the defensive line in particular, but kind of the defense as a whole, tends to go as you go. And when you play well, your teammates tend to play well around you. They feed off of your energy. Do you feel that? Can you feel that in the course of the game, that once you get going, the other guys do too? And I guess then personally, what sort of challenge is that for you, you know, heading into this playoff run?
I think it's more so of a domino effect. You know, we go as a group, you know, I'm able to feed off Frank Clark, and Frank is able to force the double teams to not to double me the whole game, or is Mel making plays, is opening up for everyone. So, you know, so I think we feed off of each other, and I think as the D-line goes, I think it makes it easier for a lot of for a lot of individuals on our team, because if D-line is sitting in front and attacking a run, it's easier for our linebackers, and we're affecting the quarterback, then, you know, our DBs don't have to hold on all day. So I think it's a domino effect as a whole as a defense. So I think this emphasizes on how important this D-line is for this game.
Let's go next to Todd Lebo. Go, Todd.
Chris, you mentioned that five-minute rule. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Denver game. Y'all got the win. You didn't get that sack. There was a big incentive that we had read about out there for you. Do you think about that during the game? How do you put that stuff out of your mind when you're trying to play the game in a team way?
It's always good to hit your incentives. We talked about it before the game, but there was not a huge emphasis on it going into the game. I just wanted to win and come out healthy. That was the most important thing. Won in a different game, and that was a tough fall game. That team came ready to play, and it was a battle to the end. So we made a few critical plays that helped us overcome that hump in Denver, man. It was tough. It was tough. But thank God everyone came out healthy. Thank God I came out healthy, and then that's just the most important thing. Put it behind you. You know, maybe next year we'll get it, or we'll see where it goes.
Let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And Brad, I'll have a quick follow-up as well. Chris, I'm curious. I know in-game, right, you're not aware of when the camera's on you, or I mean, sometimes maybe you are, but for the most part, like in your one-on-one matchups and everything. But with this being, if you guys win, what looks like Ben Roethlisberger's last game, there's going to be a lot of video of Ben Roethlisberger. Are you kind of a student of the game where you know the history of, you know, seeing guys that are, you know, being out there? I mean, this is a video that's going to be shown a lot every time there's a big Ben Roethlisberger, you know, expose on a TV, or he's going to the Hall of Fame, which is expected to happen. You know, there could be a lot of 95, you know, taking him to the ground as the final chapter. Does that enter your mind at all?
Not at all, man. First, we got to build a game plan. We got to execute the game plan for all of this to even think about happening. And, you know, we got to affect Big Ben. And, you know, I am a student of the game. I do respect the body of work Big Ben has put in. And in my eyes, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's done some extraordinary things in Pittsburgh. And, you know, as my sister's favorite team. So I know a little history about Pittsburgh. And, you know, we just got to game plan this thing and see where it takes us. But I don't want to speak before the game is brought to us. And we're going to try our best to affect this quarterback any way possible.
And then the last question, you guys were on such a roll there, for, you know, in kind of the middle of the season into the third quarter of the season and holding teams down. You've had kind of a bump, you know, three of the last four, the teams have put up, you know, better than the average yardage totals against you. Anything you put your finger on where that's what's been the problem and how you get back to the dominant play you guys had there for quite a stretch?
I think it's more so tackling. I think we missed a lot of tackles over the last course of the season. If we wrap up in tackle, I think we'll be where we want to be. And that's been a huge emphasis of going into the playoff and making sure we're wrapping up and tackling and then making sure that our big guys are getting out of the stacks to help our DBs tackle.
We'll ask to Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Matt.
Chris, a simple question here, but for fans, I'll be out at the game on Sunday. What's your message to them? Just about being loud and bringing the energy.
Baby, let's go. Stagnation, we here. We're ready. I'm so excited that we're back in Arrowhead Stadium. You know, it's nothing like it, man. The best fans in America. Let's go! Woo! Oh, man!
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
You just heard from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and defensive tackle Chris Jones. Now we'll finish things up with running back Jerick McKinnon.
The contact, you can see what he do when he, once he crosses the line of scrimmage. And I think all those things make him very dangerous and elusive with the ball.
Let's go next to Matt McMullen. Good, Matt.
Hey, Jerick. Thinking back to when you first signed here, I'm assuming this was kind of the goal, to play for a championship caliber team. Now that you have this opportunity here to play in the playoffs, especially after fighting through your injury early on and now being healthy, just how excited are you to get out there and play in the postseason here?
Man, always excited. You know, of course, signing here was definitely, you know, a big thing for me. I was excited to be on a team, you know, be around the guys, you know, play with, like you said, a championship caliber team like this team. And, you know, every week has been fun. Every week, you know, a new challenge is presented, and, you know, the playoffs is no different. You know, the Steelers, you know, they're a great team. They have, you know, Big Ben, Najee Harris. You know, they got a great receiving core, and they got great guys on defense. So, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, those guys, they're a championship team too, so we know what we're in for.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go, Adam.
Hey, Jerick. Obviously, Clyde and Daryl are good players, and they bring their own strengths to the game when they're in the lineup. But what do you think you bring? Do you think you bring something different than those guys when you're in the lineup?
You know, I think, you know, us as a room, you know, we all collectively kind of have a lot of similarities. You know, the only thing that I think I bring, you know, that I feed off is energy. You know, I'm big on energy. You know, guys can feel that. Guys can thrive off that. And, you know, the other guys in office brings as well, Cheetah, Kelsey, Pat, the whole line, everybody. So, you know, it's going to be great to get out there.
Let's go next to Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Jerick, just the journey this year for you, you know, weren't getting in as much early. Then you got hurt. Did you think you'd be sitting here now health-wise and ready to get it done? And what's that kind of like when you're hurt trying to help out the team a little bit and working mentally through getting yourself back and ready?
Definitely. You know, ever since I got into the league, I've always, you know, prepared myself to be ready for the opportunity. And, you know, as you mentioned before, the injury was definitely a setback. But, you know, on the good side of things, I think my body actually needed, because I feel pretty good now. So it was kind of one of them bittersweet things where, you know, definitely want to be out there helping the team and competing. But, you know, your body won't allow you to. So, you know, the most you can do is get your body right and, you know, just get prepared to come back.
Let's go next to Herbie. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Jerick, as a sort of as a follow-up to Adam's question, the one just before Todd, you had mentioned the energy that you feed off of each other. How do you think you complement each other in that room and also when you're on the football field?
Yeah. I mean, it begins with, you know, just everybody having eyes for the guy that's in. You know, if they see something, just communicating it. You know, communication is a big thing. And then, you know, just keep feeding them energy. You know, whether, you know, off to a good start, slow start. You know, just be encouraging, you know, keep the head in the game, keep the head up and just keep them thriving. I think our group does a great job of that.